Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Hello, everybody, and welcome once again to Atlanta Business Radio, powered by Business Radio X. Today's a special episode, Atlanta's most trusted advisors that we do hear from time to time in our Sandy Springs studio. And as always, we're broadcasting from the Regis Executive Suites here at One Glen Lake in Sandy Springs. Make sure you're connected with us on social media. You can follow the network, Business Radio X. Check out all the studios and all the other programming going on across the network. You can follow this show, Atlanta Business Radio, at Atlanta BIZ Radio. And of course, you can follow me on Twitter at Ryan Redhawk, and I guess Ryan Redhawk on all social media platforms if you so choose. So Atlanta's most trusted advisors, and as always in the co-host seat, the president and founder and CEO and head honcho at BBR Marketing, Bonnie Buell-Russick. How are you, Bonnie?
I'm good. How are you doing, Ryan?
Fantastic. We missed each other last time around.
And I know.
You had Stone in here. I hope he did all right.
He managed to work his way through it.
Yeah. You know, we try to put him in the host seat and the producer seat at least a couple times a year to keep his skills sharp.
Make sure he knows which buttons to push.
That's
and
right.
Such.
Yes. If he's going to tell me to push buttons, I want to make sure he knows which buttons to push. But here today on Atlanta's Most Trusted Advisors, we have a returning guest. You know, we began doing this series together earlier this year in 2016, I think in January. And this guest was one of our first guests, if not the first. I'll promise to go back and research it. And maybe she knows.
Second
guest, the second show. So welcome back to the program and Atlanta's Most Trusted Advisors, Donna Grindle from Cardin.
Compliance.
That's right. Thank you. How are you, Donna?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me again.
Well, what's new with you since the last time we visited?
I don't know if you've noticed, but there's a lot of data breaches and stuff that's been in the news.
Mm-hmm.
And that's our business is data security and compliance programs for HIPAA and building cybersecurity formal programs to actually pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
Suddenly, our business has gone huge. People see you've seen the Athens Orthopedic, the Peachtree Orthopedic stuff in the news.
Well, what is that? No, I'm not familiar.
There's a prolific hacker that the beginning of June, sometime in that time frame, found ways into several different medical practices using some vulnerabilities that they stumbled upon, and they started holding things for ransom, not ransomware. They would actually say, look, I've got this data, I'm going to release it.
And it was medical data?
It was medical data.
But that sounds like it was local, like it really hit in our backyard.
It hit all over the U.S. There's some in Oklahoma, Missouri.
Wow.
It's largely orthopedic groups, but it hit Athens Orthopedic and Peachtree Orthopedics, both of them. Athens Orthopedic hit the news in August timeframe, I want to say. And just last week, there was a story on WSB about the Peachtree Orthopedic, and they sent the letters out.
So that's helped your business.
That's almost 1 million patients just from Athens and
Really?
Yeah. And these are your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, perhaps?
Easily.
Oh, yeah. Lots of people are friends of ours, and they're coming and they're like, okay, so what does this mean to me? Because I got one of the letters.
Is that a common way for hackers to actually say, send a ransom letter like they've kidnapped somebody?
It's happened before, but this was quite, there must have been 18 practices or so that were involved in this. Some of them were small, had, 3,500 patients, but these were two of the largest ones. And we just happened to be right at ground zero of it.
And these are small practices who probably thought that this was not important to them and protecting their data, or maybe they did or didn't have the resources or the know-how to do that. So that's maybe where you step in and educate and inform them how important it is.
Yes, I do. We try very hard to educate people. We have a weekly podcast, Help Me with HIPAA, where we educate people on the concerns of data breaches. And we try to do it with a little bit of less than nerd speak.
Mm-hmm.
I'll admit it. I'm a nerd.
Yes, all right. It's self-confessed techno nerd, as she says here on her bio, and it's probably been that way for many years.
Yeah, I wrote my first computer program in 1981.
Wow.
I know.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
I did it with a teething ring in my mouth.
Of course you did.
But you've always been interested in technology.
Always.
And we talk about that here from time to time, keeping young women and young girls interested in technology all the way through their careers into professional, because it's important to have a diverse workforce. And we do that here in Atlanta.
Yeah. Every opportunity I have to try to encourage young women, girls to get into the technology. And it's, you know, it's like a lot of other things that are male dominated. For whatever reason, girls think they can't do it. Like engineering and some of the things they're doing with those, I'm a big fan and constantly try any opportunity. I want to get ultimately involved in some of the organizations that do a lot with that.
Well, I can help you there, because we do a show every other weekend here featuring women in technology, WIT Atlanta, and Sandy Welfare, the executive director, comes in and co-hosts, and they bring in executives, women executives in high technology firms, as well as college age to young schoolgirls who are learning about technology and what they can do across the board to help them, you know, stay in that field. Their goal, WIT Atlanta, is to have a 50-50 workforce by 2020.
Oh, that's awesome.
And so we're helping promote that. They got the Woman of the Year Awards coming up in November. They do that all every year, I think 16 years in a row now. So it's fantastic. So that's great. So you got interested young, you've stayed interested, and you're continuing to help educate not only the professionals, but anyone else who needs to know what's trending in technology.
Right. Specifically with all of the things that have to do with cybersecurity right now, whether it's a financial firm or a law firm, you know, everybody knows about HIPAA as the thing you sign when you go to the doctor.
Yeah.
And I tell people that's what I do, but it's really way more than that. That thing you sign is just the contract that says, here's your rights and here's what we are going to do. Without asking you, we can do these things, but otherwise we've got to let you know. And it's actually the contract that initiates that law. Mm-hmm. So it's really a bit more than that paper you sign.
A little bit, maybe. And it impacts more than just medical offices, too. I know we talked about this a little bit before, and we'll go into document protection here in a minute. But when our first conversation, and many of them since then, I've always been fascinated by the fact that, you know, there's business associates also have to comply with HIPAA.
Yes.
And business associates, correct me if I'm wrong, because I tell people this on a regular basis, is, you know, anybody that has access to the information from medical offices, basically, or the personal information. So, you know, your health information, your social security number, anything like that, that needs to be protected by a medical office. You know, you think about it, an HR firm, a law firm, an accounting firm, you know, it could be anybody like that also has to be HIPAA compliant. And I think a lot of those businesses have no idea.
Well, actually, there's an article I was just reading this morning, you know, on my Feedly, because I have to have my new
feed. Stay plugged in.
Yeah.
KPMG's just put out a report, and the article came out this morning, that their study shows that business associates just aren't prepared to meet these guidelines. And they were particularly looking at high trust cybersecurity framework. But and that's just like a stepping stone to meeting your HIPAA requirements.
Yeah.
Yes. So do you think it's just because they don't know they need to be compliant, or they don't, no one's going to come after me?
Yeah, there's a little bit of the, and we always call it the stages of grief. you know, they go to denial and anger and all this. So there's some of that. And the government shouldn't tell me how to run my business, you know, but if no one tells you to do this, you're not going to protect my data. But a lot of it is miscommunication or misinformation. People think they're doing what they're supposed to do and they have no idea. In fact, I speak often at events, and I just heard recently, you know, through the grapevine, somebody says, someone saw you at a conference and said that I needed to talk to you because they were shocked. Everything you were saying, they weren't doing, yet they thought they were doing HIPAA properly.
So no one was there to look over their shoulder and tell them they weren't.
Well, they don't understand what it really means in a lot of cases. There's a lot of assumptions, and there's the technology piece and the privacy piece and the breach notification piece. So it's a lot bigger than people realize.
Yeah, no more assumptions. We're talking with Donna Grindle from Cardin Compliance. She's president over there. For more information, you can go to cardincompliance.com. So we know that a business may need help once they've been breached. Mm-hmm. How does a business know when it's time to call someone like you to maybe do a safety check or look at their systems to make sure they're working or before they are breached? You don't want to wait till you're attacked and then make your and set up your defenses. So what are some other pain points a business may be experiencing and they know it's time to call you?
Well, we have, we've started hearing from law firms primarily because their business, their clients are saying, hey, I want to know you're going to protect my data. So, you know, tell me that you're going above and beyond and the efforts that you're making, I can trust you. So there's a lot of that involved in outside medical mm-hmm. that's going to start happening, and that's going to begin to grow. I can assure you that the more you hear about your information and you think about the business information that law firms have and accounting firms and so those kind of things. So we get a lot of that, and you'll actually start to realize people are requesting this from you, mm-hmm. As well as, well, of course, medical, yes. A business associate is anyone that, in order to provide services to the medical industry, they require persistent access to patient information, known as protected health information in the law. But if they require that in order to do their job, then they're a business associate. So even if you fall under that, you need these kind of services, or you have to be doing it yourself. And then, of course, you know, there's the FUD, the fear, uncertainty, and doubt that mm-hmm. Bonnie taught me to say, but I don't use it in marketing. I just tell people, listen to the news and you'll know you need me.
Yes, that's right. Mm-hmm. So, and a document heavy, like law firm or legal mm-hmm. accounting, that brings in that other part of the conversation, the documents that are all left over after maybe a case has been solved, or what do you do with them? How do you manage those?
It's well, not just about electronics. It's about paper too. We say, don't forget about the paper.
Right. Well, and that's part of you know, what we wanted to talk about today is just the idea of protecting your documents, whether they be electronic or papers, and for any business, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, I'm a little bit skeptical, and I kind of chuckle under my breath because a big thing with accounting firms that we work with a lot is we're creating a paperless environment. I have yet to see a truly paperless environment at any firm whatsoever. You know, I mean, it's and I actually applaud the efforts to get there and not have, you know, rooms full of paper that could, you know, go astray very easily. But, you know, I guess part of the challenge is knowing, you know, what documentation you need to keep for a period of time, what document, you know, how to store it. And, you know, are there things that you have to store on site versus off site? And I'm throwing a whole lot of things out there, but, you know, as you work with your clients, you know, how do you talk to them about protecting their documents and what they need to do?
Well, that's a great question, Bonnie. you know, I have been a big fan of paperless environments for a long time. I got my start in healthcare IT writing electronic claims to do paperless health claims in the late 80s. So I've been around a while. So it's been a push to get rid of paper everywhere.
You seen it yet?
Well, I laugh when you say that because, I mean, we have one printer and we rarely use it. Because we do everything paperless, but we still have to print things from time to time, so we have the printer. But I have accountants that I've worked with for years, and there's one particular one. Even when we see each other, if we're at like a company gathering or something, we love to get in the corner so that he can tell me why he needs to print things, and I can tell him how he can do it without printing it. And it's like a big debate people gather around. But accounting is, people like tactile. You know, mm-hmm. so they need to touch things. You know, we've got paper right in front of us now. You know, mm-hmm. we've all been doing that. So it helps some people. Some people process information better that way. So that's why you're never going to completely get rid of paper, you know, because a tablet isn't the same.
Right.
Right.
You know, I love my Kindle, but it's not the same as holding a book.
No. But shredding the paper is not often just enough. You have to lock that shredding bin. You have to come over and get people to remove the shredded paper and destroy it. Talk to us about how important that is.
Well, the shredding companies, you know, they come in And they have to lock the bins. You know why you have to lock the bins?
No.
So people are putting the paper in there all day so that you can shred it, right? If you leave it unlocked, what's the point in shredding it? Because I can just get it whenever I want.
Is somebody really going to put all that paper back together and try to
It's not shredded in those bins.
Oh, it's not shredded. Before it's shredded. I see. Yeah. Before it gets shredded.
Yeah, so it sits in those bins. And there are cases where the entire bin, people have access to it. And let's just say that cleaning companies can go in there and they just grab a stack every night. And, you know, you can sell that stuff for a lot of
corporate
money.
Corporate espionage. It's real, ladies and gentlemen.
And identity theft.
Yes, right.
Medicare fraud.
All that. And identities are everywhere now, not only online, but at the workplace, at home. And reading off the notes here, there's, you know, cases where people are finding pharmacy records in a dumpster.
Yeah.
And then you don't even know you've been breached. And all of a sudden now that's how they found you. So this affects us all, you know, no matter how young or old, where you live, you need to take precautions in protecting your identity.
And the pharmacy should have never put them there because they're required by law not to dispose. You know, they're supposed to securely dispose of things. And so, but then there are other cases where they think they're securely disposing of things because they have a service, and then the service lets them down.
I was actually talking to the person who was going to be our second guest today, but wasn't able to make it. And he runs one of those services, and he was talking about how there have been stories, and I'm sure you've heard of people, you know, come, they back the van up, you put the boxes in the van, and it drives away, and the business owner feels confident that that information is being shredded, when in reality, it's being dumped in a landfill somewhere.
Yeah, cheapest way.
Yeah, and that, therefore, you know, all that information is out there and available, so, you know, finding and vetting and getting referrals and looking up comments and references on any company that you're using is very important, I would think.
Well, yeah, we encourage everybody to vet anybody that you're going to give access to confidential information. Mm-hmm. If it's worth shredding, then you should make sure how seriously they take it. And we do that for all business associates. We say you should vet them. And, you know, we just ask them questions so that you can understand their compliance programs and their security programs. And if people start pitching a fit, big red flag.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
Or you don't really need that proof or anything like that.
I don't know why
you're
asking me this. No one else does.
Well, maybe it's because no one else is looking into it as much as they need to.
That's right.
And what we've learned from past shows about cybersecurity these days, you could be a soft target where these you know, evildoers will come into your flower shop to use that as a launching point to go out there for more information. And whether you're paper or internet-based or a medical practice, you need to take precautions for sure. And that's what you help all businesses. Do you have any particular businesses you like to work with at Cardin Compliance?
Well, our core business is healthcare.
Yeah.
The covered entities that provide care and payment and the business associates that support them, that's our core business. But as everything expands, there's even been a New York, there's a new law that's going to go into effect, I think, or executive direction. I don't know exactly which way it's going in, but it's going to go into effect in January unless somebody stops it. But it's basically a HIPAA-like law for the state of New York for financial firms.
Well, that makes sense.
That
right?
makes a lot of sense.
Protect people's assets and their information.
Yeah. So law firms, financial firms, they're going to start seeing this. And there is there's the definition of the critical infrastructure, and healthcare is part of that. You know, if we had a major national emergency, kind of need healthcare.
Yeah.
Somebody's got to give me a Band-Aid.
The financial structure as well.
Power.
Banking and power. And
so there's a huge list of those. And there's actually a national cybersecurity framework that was published in 2014 for all these companies to standardize their cybersecurity planning.
Wow. That's interesting.
And as fast as
we can take any company that wants to be part of the cybersecurity framework. So if you're a law firm and you have power companies, or you work with a Department of Defense, or you have healthcare, or any of those other things, as a law firm, you may not be part of it, but your clients are part of it. And then you need to follow those same rules.
Mm-hmm. Much like, exactly like HIPAA.
Yeah.
You have to follow.
There's a crosswalk between the two. And actually, OIG just came out with the Office of Inspector General.
Thank you.
Reviewed. Nerd. Name it and claim it. But they just came out with a report a couple months ago, maybe. It wasn't that long ago, but it was quite critical of the enforcement of HIPAA because they're not forcing people to do these things. And one of the points that they made is the National Cybersecurity Framework should be merged in with HIPAA. So there's a lot of stuff that's going to give me, you know, every time there's a breach announced or that kind of stuff, and the more people automate, you know, we were just talking earlier about automation being the big thing, but the more you do that, the more job security I have.
Yeah, and the more data collection that's going on in every industry, you know.
Right.
I think people offer up a lot about their personal identity on Facebook. And imagine if they ever get breached. Then yeah, it's way too much. So
they
mask themselves as someone else or are out there looking at you and monitoring you and perhaps stealing your identity through those channels.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of stories on that angle. Yeah.
Well, one of the things that I was in this large room with healthcare people, and one of the questions I get is, why do people want this data? And, you know, they'll go in and they'll grab all 500,000 patients they can get on a database, and they'll take those and then they'll sift through that looking for important things in different ways they can use it. And one of the things I pointed out to them is, like, let's say you're a pediatrician, and unbeknownst to you, the grandfather of three of those children you treat is the CEO of a major defense contract, and they're trying to hack into that defense contractor. Well, what's the likelihood, if people aren't serious about security, what's the likelihood of them having a password that involves their grandchildren's name and date of birth?
Probably about 88%. people's likelihood of using pet's name, their dog's name, which they have like pictures all over, their grandkids, you know, little Joey one. something. So, right, whatever your password may be. But that's true. So you don't know who you're connected to. We're all out there on so many channels, and they can kind of put it all maybe in one, and they've already got more information from another breach here and sell it to another, you know, evildoers there. And before you know it, they've got a full profile on you.
Yeah. So that's a big piece that what, you know, we're talking about paper here, but you do destruction of digital as well. So properly destroying it, there's a piece by 60 Minutes, I think, CBS News, where they went into a reseller of copiers several years ago, and they bought just random copiers to see what was still on
like the hard drive inside the copier.
They got tons of medical records, because you think about it, people are copying them and they're sitting on the hard drive. They actually have one where they opened it up and there was a piece of paper still in the thing.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah. And that was from a police department.
Nice.
Yeah. So they had all of those, had tons of data on them, and they were just there was a whole warehouse full, and they just randomly picked them and got all of that.
Wow. So, I bet. So refurbished computers is probably a mind. I just can't even imagine all the information that's on.
Yeah, there's nothing that tortures me more than somebody saying, "I got rid of that computer." How?
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. What did you do?
Sweat.
Yeah. Well, so how do you find out as somebody in a business who, okay, I'm done with these files. I keep them. I want to destroy. I want to get rid of them. I'm a Mac person, so just dragging them to the trash and emptying the trash is not sufficient, I would imagine.
No.
Okay. So
unless
how do
you have full drive encryption, that's a little different.
Probably not. I don't know what that is. Where do you find out this information, or how can you learn this? Or is it somebody, you know, obviously you could come in and help, but... Mm-hmm. You know, for people that I'm like, I just wanted to permanently delete some files. Yeah. How do I do it?
Well, you can follow Donna. She's a speaker and a blogger.
Exactly.
And she is also a podcaster. That's so, yeah, tell us how can we find all that out?
Well, on Help Me With HIPAA, we discuss, like, it'll be a topic like encryption and or how to vet a business associate and all of
Excellent.
Those kind of things. So every week there's a 30, 45 minute conversation, and it's me and my co-host being goofy most of the time. So, as many people say, I cannot believe I'm learning about HIPAA and actually laughing.
Yeah, you got to keep them entertained along the way.
Yeah, we're coming out. We usually record a couple of weeks in advance, and So I was just listening last night. The sound engineer had finished editing our scary HIPAA stories Halloween episode.
Ooh.
Where we go through a haunted HIPAA house.
Oh, man.
So, you know, we add a little bit of fun to it. But
nice.
We teach you those things, and we often have links to resources there to help you learn. There's definitely a lot of links that we offer based on the particular episode. So you can track down whatever you want to do. You can go and search our podcast. We just released our 75th. So there's
nice.
A lot of topics there. That's great. A great way I can offer.
Yes.
And then, of course, you can have a security awareness program at your office is really important. So you should have one of those. And there's a lot of ways that you can build them. And it's, you know, you send an email or every time you have a staff meeting, somebody talks about security awareness. And understanding phishing,
mm-hmm.
Spear phishing versus this, you know.
Cat phishing.
Yeah. And so there's, you know, those kind of things that you should be doing to look. But when it comes to things like properly shredding the computer files, it's going to depend on how the systems are configured and what security is in place. So it's important to have someone that understands those things. Even in a small business,
yeah,
you know, we always differentiate IT support services. There's I got a guy,
mm-hmm.
and then there's dude used to work in a big enterprise, and that's really the only thing they know how to do. So they come in and put big enterprise stuff in a small office,
mm-hmm.
and then you have the ones who know a little bit better and have streamlined it. But they may not know all the details of things like HIPAA and those security concerns to build the proper programs. And then you have the ones that are really deeply involved in stuff. So, I mean, I used to have a IT company and we used to do all this stuff. Now I train them on how to do this
nice
HIPAA stuff.
So training is part of this and making sure that, you know, anybody that works at the pharmacy knows not to just dump the records in the dumpster.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that or whatever that might be.
It's the people. That's what we say. It's the people.
That is the people, for sure. But no matter what your industry, your Joe's Tire Shop, or you are a medical, supply company, you need to, take precautions and you need to check in. I mean, how often should a business kind of be reassessing their infrastructure or their security? A couple times a year? Or is this a monthly thing?
Well, the best indicator is I use the standard that they put in the HIPAA language, which I think is appropriate for everybody, is that you should do a risk assessment, a risk analysis of what can go wrong in my company at least annually, mm-hmm. I believe. Now, the law doesn't force you to do that, but I believe at least annually. But then you should also do it anytime there's a major change in your business. I'm going to put in new computers. Okay, how am I going to secure those? How am I going to get rid of the ones that I've been using to make sure I'm mm-hmm. not, you know, putting it in a refurbished bin? I'm going to erase those. I am going to implement a new application. I need to evaluate that. We're moving to a new office. We're expanding our office. We're adding a new, like in a doctor's office, we're adding a new provider. We're adding a new accountant. How does that change our workflow? And do we not leave a hole mm-hmm. in our security? So you should do that whenever there's a major change. Think about security and then at least annually sit down and think it through. And when we say, you know, what would you do if there was a fire at your office tomorrow?
Run.
That's it.
And then I call the police. I mean, the fire department.
You know, you come in and everything's gone. What do you do?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you start from there.
And all the medical records that, mm-hmm. you know, were hanging in those files that we always see behind the receptionist
in
the doctor's office.
Well, that brings up another good point. What about the employee who leaves, who maybe had access to all of these records or passwords? You have to then go change your system then.
Yeah, we recommend that you have a checklist for a termination checklist. You have an onboarding checklist to make sure you don't overshare the security with the new
too
people.
Too soon, right? Because they may be in their 90-day kind of figuring out period or something.
Yeah, you don't want to just give them the keys to the office and the alarm code the day that...
Maybe Alan, who's been there for 20 years and head of everything, and you need to redo your systems, but he may have a plan in two. So so we'll let Alan go.
Yeah.
But certainly checking in whenever there's changes, not only in personnel, but in the workflow, mm-hmm. and then checking annually if your business is growing and all of that along the way.
Yep. Just rethink it all the time. Security, you know, in small businesses, often technology is, hey, when did we buy that computer? 3 years ago. It should still be working.
Mm-hmm. It's got McAfee on it.
Yeah.
We should be good.
And so often what happens is, you know, you just use it till it dies. And you're not actually evaluating what's going on with that equipment. And imagine if I took all of your computers out of your office, Bonnie. Just took them away.
Uh-huh.
You can't use them. Go.
Yeah.
How long would it take you to rebuild your office and get everybody functioning again where you would feel like you were under control if I just took them away?
We're all backed up on cloud
still, but
spots. But yeah, it would take a while. Yeah, you know,
even with your backup.
Yeah.
And I know between you and Paul, you understand that, and Kelly, for God's
sake. Yeah.
But that you understand it. And even though you understand it and you prepare for these things,
it would be difficult. You
know? And I took away your internet connection. The
world.
Why'd
you do that, Donna? You're so mean. You're so mean.
Right. Well, you would have to go buy all new computers. You'd have to, you know, get them all plugged in and updated and ready to work. But it would.
And downloading all that information from the cloud can be extremely.
Is that something you think you could do internally, or would you have to turn to a third party to help you rebuild?
Oh, I would probably want a third party doing that for me, because. Definitely not my area of expertise.
Because business still has to go. You know, you can't let your clients know this is, you know, all internal and you just got to do it. So, great scenario, Donna. Thanks for bringing that one up, right? Bonnie loses all her computers.
Stop. I'm sweating over here.
I know. Look at her. That's great.
There's cases where that's happened, where a doctor's office just recently, it was back at the beginning of the year, they were reporting it. And it was a doctor's office and they were broken into. And somebody stole like a huge stack of paper charts, as well as a laptop. And then 2 months later, they were broken into again. And this time they stole a whole bunch of desktops and a server. And number one, I want to know why they didn't encrypt all that after they broke it into the first time. But everything was gone. You know, they still had some paper charts. So it does happen. It's not something, you know, we say that when you're doing disaster recovery planning, think of the worst possible thing that could happen and don't assume it won't.
A good idea. Actually, years ago, I worked for an accounting firm that had a stack of laptops stolen. And that information, you know, nobody's social security number or anything like that is supposed to be on those laptops.
Right.
Of course they were.
Of course.
And the rules in place for, you know, reporting that breach, not only to the people whose information was compromised, but just to the general public,
and all
a
your
real
clients.
Stain. You know, I mean, it really is. It's embarrassing, if nothing else. And it certainly causes all your clients to wonder about what other security measures you aren't taking place. But the punchline on that one was one of the partners at the firm, we were sitting in a meeting and she had Googled the name of the firm. And of course, you know, in the top five was this report of the breach.
Right.
You know, somebody had picked up the story and shared it. And she looked over at me and said, "Do you think you could get that taken down?" And I'll never forget just looking like, "Oh my God, she's serious."
Yes,
I own the internet. Let me take care of that.
Yeah, let me call Google right now.
Yeah.
So I'm sure they'll take my call.
Exactly. And I'm sure they'll take that down. You know. But yeah, you can't assume anything, and you can't assume that people understand and know some of the most basic things. Certainly not these things that are.
You have to tell. You have to tell the public. You have to tell the people involved, and you have to tell your customers when you're a business associate. And that's why business associate breaches are so, you know, massive, because you have a EMR company that's breached, and they have, you know, hundreds of clients and all their data is available. So it's a big thing. And anytime, according to the HIPAA law, anytime there are breaches of over 500 patients in a single breach, you have to report it to, you have 60 days to report it to all of the patients in writing. You have to do a press release, and that's why we get to hear about it in the news. I call that job security, as I said. And then you also have to notify the Department of Health and Human Services. And then they post it on their website, anybody that's had a breach of over 500 patients and the details. Well, that's why they call it the wall of shame. Although, you know, they want to, the HHS, the Health and Human Services, they don't want us to call it that, but come on.
Right. You got to be. Yeah, if, if your name is on there, your office is on there, that's probably not a good place to have it. But yeah. it maybe you then rectify the situation. You put a better security in place. You have now maybe, you know, you've gone through the pain of being breached and being shamed on the wall. So maybe there are those are the ones you trust more, you know, mm-hmm. as opposed to ones who's never been had these troubles.
Maybe
because we say we've said before so you're going to be possibly breached at all at some point. And if you're a business, identity theft is on the rise. So you have to be prepared personally and professionally. So,
well, you know, they say that, there are plenty of security experts and cyber war people. And it's literally a war.
Yes.
With these folks now. They say there's two types of businesses, the ones that know they've been breached and the ones that don't.
Yep. So which one are you, ladies and gentlemen? You can call Donna Grindle at Cardin Compliance to find out if she can help you or perhaps knows someone who can, making sure you're shredding your documents, cleaning your hard drives, and storing those computers and files properly. So let's get some coordinates for you. What's the best way if someone wanted to reach out to you and your company to find you?
Well, you can go right to the website, and there's a little contact click.
Yep.
That's a great way, and you can call us at 678-292-5001. Mm-hmm. That's got a little ring to it.
It does.
I don't, you know, we so rarely use phones when you're techno geeks.
You know? I know. Doesn't it make you jump now when it rings?
Yeah, it does.
Like you're so used to it not ringing anymore.
Well, I use a soft phone at my desk, so it's through my computer and everything.
Oh, wow.
And you can always email us at info@cardincompliance.com. And you can hit me at helpmewithhipaa.com. There's pretty much you can find me on Twitter at CardinHipaa, at helpmewithhipaa, on LinkedIn. I'm everywhere.
All right. We encourage you to check out the podcast as well. You have that 70 plus episodes already.
Yeah, just find one. And we do things like when we one of our first episodes was explaining encryption, and we used examples about Cracker Jack toys. Mm-hmm. So we don't make this. I mean, there's some things we did a whole episode on website security, and people said that got a little over their heads. But if you knew anything, if you like, with you guys prompted that actual some of your questions prompted. There are many episodes where we try desperately to take very complex things and put them into a bit more of a Carla calls it conversational English.
Yeah. And you need to do that for sure, you know, because it could be like stepping into the Matrix if you don't know where you're going and you may need someone to guide you there. And it sounds like Donna's the right person. So check out the blogs, check out the podcast. Thank you for coming back and being a guest again on Atlanta's Most Trusted Advisors. We appreciate your insight and your expertise. And thank you again, Bonnie, for another good episode. Let's remind the listeners how they can find you.
Absolutely. We are at bbrmarketing.com. And much like Donna, you can pretty much just Google BBR Marketing and you'll find us in a whole variety of places.
And she has all of her computers in place right now, ladies and gentlemen, and they will be there. She has plan. And so, until the next episode, we'll see you again in a couple of weeks. Thank you to Stone Payton and Lee Cantor for making all this happen. And on behalf of the entire Business Radio X Network, I'm Ryan Redhawk McPherson. We'll see you next time on Atlanta's Business Radio.